I remember one time, many years ago, the first time that I ever met those that came from South Carolina there at Monarch. And they had our book, but they didn't really know how to sing the songs. And they got up and sang a special out of our hymnal. And the tune was not according to the tune at all, but it was one of the most anointed songs. It was so blessed. I've never forgotten it. You know, it's not the tune that is the anointing. When we were there in Germany, some of their songs are not in our book. Sometimes when they were, we would sing in English and they would sing in German. And when the song was not in our book, we asked the interpreter to interpret it into English. And their tune was beautiful. And you know, I couldn't raise my hand to the tune. But when they started interpreting the words, I could raise my hand. Thank the Lord. So it's not the tune. But I want the Lord to be satisfied with me. And I desire your prayers this morning. I lean on the Lord. I know that my sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of God, who hath made us an able minister of the New Testament, it said. So we desire your prayers for the little service this morning. I love this day. Can't always say that I have. You might find that a little bit strange, and maybe you'll understand by the end of the message. We want to start out this morning and talk to you about the love of God. The first little scripture that many of us learned for our little Sunday school verse was, God is love. And most of the time when they're 2 or 3 years old, and I've taught that little class over the years, you only give them one word at a time. It's difficult for them to remember all three words. But in time, they begin to learn it. And then in that Sunday school class, we begin to teach them what that means. And I believe that every one of us that are here this morning, we have tasted the love of God, or we wouldn't be here. He has said unto each one of us down through our lives from time to time, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so this morning, I would like for us to all turn our minds just a little bit to the love of God. God is love.
Praise the Lord.
His love has never changed. His love was the same in past generations. It is the same for you and me today, and for whatever generations remain after we're gone, He will be the same. His love will never change. He loves the world. Thank the Lord. The Word of God, to me, speaks volumes of His love. We have songwriters that have written about His love. Probably my favorite song is the one that says, could we with ink the ocean fill?
Oh, yeah.
And were the skies the parchment? And if every stalk on earth was a quill? And if the ocean were the ink, the ocean would be drained. So the writer got a little vision of how great the love of God was and is. And while we know that won't be exactly like that, It's important for you and me to get into our heart and our mind and our understanding a vision of the great love of God.
Amen.
The love of God is understood by you and me primarily through demonstration. Do you believe that? Did he have to? The scripture says that he, through the goodness of the Lord, like the sister is saying, he leadeth men to repentance. And while the Lord allows certain events to happen to us in our life that turns out to be good, may not be good at the time. For instance, when our daughter was taken, her daddy wasn't saved. And she had just said to the young people here at Guthrie, just a few weeks before it happened, I would gladly give my life if my daddy would be saved. And that's what it took. It took that. Now that looked like a hard thing, but that was from God. That was a good thing. And we can look back and say that was the love of God. It was through that event that caused us to see the great love of God. Thank the Lord. Well, there are many events. The demonstration of God's love is throughout the Word of God. Sometimes you have to read between the lines. But you can see the love of God. What is the scripture that comes to your mind foremost when we speak of the love of God? God so loved the world. Finish it. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see the love of God?
Amen.
Does that open up to your mind the love of God for the whole world?
Lord.
Or do we just sort of let it be in our world? No, God loves the whole world. Thank the Lord. Love was the moving factor, I call it that, in and for creation. You look at Genesis. And everything that God did because he loved. And after he would create something, he would go through phases of creation, and he would look at it, and he would say, that's good. You know what that says to me? I think he really meant, I just love it. Do you ever create anything and you stand back and you like what you did? And you might say, I just love it. Well, I think that's how God's love was really being demonstrated in the event of the creation. Now, when he created man, I think he really did mean, I just love what I have created. Because he created the human beings of the earth in his image.
Yes.
And so he loved it. So he loved what he was creating. But his love did not begin at creation, did it? Love was even before creation. And we have scripture to prove it. Jesus said, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So Jesus began to give us a little glimpse of something that was before time before this world was in existence, when everything was dark and void, all of that, God was, Jesus was, and the Holy Spirit was, and there was love. Jesus said in a prayer, he said, "Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." So I know that God had love before he created all of this, before he created mankind. His love was there. And it has never changed. Has your love ever changed? As human beings, do we change sometimes in our love? We're subject to change. But God does not change in his love. He loves the same as he did before he created all of this. John, 1 John 4:10, a portion of that scripture says, "Herein is love." What's the rest? "He sent his son." Thank the Lord. And then another scripture before we continue with our thought this morning. Romans 8:32. "He spared not his son, but delivered him up for who?" For who? I like it a little bit louder. He did it for us all. There is not one person born on the face of the earth since the beginning of this creation that he did not love, he did not desire that person to be with him in paradise. And this morning, he has a love for each one of you, and he has a real desire that you and I understand the love of God. Amen. In this day. So we want to consider the love of God in the birth of Christ. It's a very appropriate day for us to speak about his birth. Now, was this the day that he was born? No, it wasn't. I have appreciated, I wasn't here when Brother Marty preached on bringing out some thoughts of Christmas. Brother Leslie has done it, maybe some others this week. But, you know, I have been through a time when we were instructed to not be in the spirit of Christmas. And I'm not discounting that. When I'm saying what I'm saying, I am not discounting that. But I have to tell you the impact it had on me. We were instructed to be careful about the Christmas cards that we sent. To not say, "Merry Christmas." It was to say, "Happy Holidays." And so we carefully chose our cards down through the years so that we were not violating this thought of Christmas. Because of where it came from, Christ Mass being a Catholic holiday. So I was troubled, you know, somewhat down through the years. And it is through those kind of things that the Lord opened up my mind to this wonderful holiday. This is not the day, but you know, the Lord said in his word, speaking of ordinances, he said, "As oft as you do this unto me," he didn't tell us how often we should wash one another's feet. He didn't tell us how oft that we should break the bread. He just said, "When you do it." It's a wonderful thing. He said, happy are ye if ye will do it. So I trust that with the thoughts that the Lord has given to us, that it will create in us a vision of the love of God in Christ's birth. Someone said the other day, they spoke of this season that we celebrate. That word celebrate sort of didn't set real well in my mind, because I thought, do we really celebrate the birth of Christ? Have you ever looked that word up in the dictionary? I challenge you to do it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. That word means to recall in order to honor. When you and I celebrate Christ's birth, you know, it is not that we're doing it. You know, when we celebrate each other's birthdays, while we're alive, we're always adding a year, aren't we? Now I'm this old, so... But Christ, we know how old he was when he died. But at Christmas, do you ever, when you celebrate his birth, or when we do the feet washing and we do the ordinance, do we stand up and say, well, he's been gone over 2,000 years? We don't mark time when we celebrate Christ. We celebrate what he came for. And what he's doing, what the power of our Christ is able to do in humanity in this day, in this age, in this time, and in all time to come. That's what we celebrate. We recall in order to honor. And then it says, celebrate also means commemorate. It means to observe or exalt. Lift up or praise. That's to celebrate. Now, there is a negative term for celebration that you and I don't partake of. We don't go out and get drunk. See?
No.
The world can celebrate in a way that is unacceptable and does not satisfy our Father. But God is willing for us to remember his birth. I'm going to give you some of the things why I know that's true. One morning, I was praying. And while I was praying, the Lord spoke two words to me. Order and allow. And then he began to just open up my mind to what he has ordered. And then he opened my mind to what he has allowed. Now I'm going to give you the definitions for those two words also. It's important that we understand what these words mean. This word order means, and I'm going to be using these terms as we complete this thought. This word order means to ordain a condition in which there is methodical and harmonious arrangement with divine purpose. Do I need to read that again? That's quite a definition. But I liked it. Okay, here it is again. Try to grasp it. Order. To ordain a condition in which there is methodical and harmonious arrangement with divine purpose. That's order. Okay. Now, you know what allow means? To permit. To suffer it to be so. Not preventing. Okay. Now we're going to deal with those two words for this little thought this morning. 2 Peter 1, looking at parts of verses 20 and 21, It says no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Do you believe in prophecy? Do we believe the prophecy? I believe Brother Leslie preached us a message one afternoon, real good message on do you believe? And he brought out the prophecies, and then he brought out the fulfillments. And after each one, he would say to the congregation, do you believe? And of course, we that were here did and responded so. There in our home congregation for a number of weeks, we've been working with a scripture that has been so inspired to us and is still being inspired to us. And it can go in so many directions. And I've encouraged the congregation to memorize it. And it's from Deuteronomy 29:29. That's easy to remember too. And the scripture says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us. Oh, praise God. You know, there's a lot of things that God had to keep secret. He couldn't unfold all of this all at one time. He can't even unfold it to us individually all at one time. He said to his disciples, there's many things I want to say to you, but you're not able to bear it. And so in time, he reveals himself unto us, and then it belongs to us. Amen. And then we're able to grasp it, and we're able to believe it. Yes. And so in this little thought this morning, we're trusting that what he reveals in his word concerning prophecy and the fulfillment of it, that it will establish it even more, that the saints of God of all people should observe his birth. We should take advantage of it. In other words, because the whole world seems to be in this kind of time, and our culture especially, I'm not saying enter into the spirit of it. I'm saying we need to promote Christ's birth in a time that it is dark. Prophecy. Now, we're going to do some prophesying. No, I'm not. I mean, I'm going to read to you some prophecy. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 7:14... It's one prophecy, and I'm only going to give you a few for the sake of time, but this is a wonderful prophecy. Yeah. It says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Okay, what do we have in this prophecy? What is being foretold here? The personage, the vehicle in which he was to be born, and his name. So we have prophecy. How many years before it happened? Just 10 years? No, this was hundreds of years before it happened. This was prophecy given by the Holy Ghost. Men of old being moved to be able to utter words that you and I can look back and study it and bring it over into the New Testament and confirm it and see the fulfillment of it. And that inspires our faith. Thank the Lord. Isaiah 9:6-7. And it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Oh, thank the Lord. And to order it, I'm going to skip those little parts there about David's throne, because you know what? We can get lost in there. We want it to be so personal and bring it down to our day. I believe it was David's throne. I'm not discounting that. I just want you to have it so fixed in your mind that this prophecy was for our time. Amen. As well. And it says, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice forever. And then it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, was that prophecy? Bring it to pass. It was prophesied. Now let's go to Micah 5 and verse 2. I'm only going to give you these three just for the sake of time this morning. But this is a wonderful little passage that is confirmed in the New Testament, see? And it says, but thou, Bethlehem. Is it important that it be identified long before he was born where he was to be born? Absolutely. It confirms it even more. And then it says, though thou be little among Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that is to be ruler. So now I've got three settings here. Three prophecies. Many more could be given. But it's enough. It's enough now for us to go to the fulfillment. And we find the fulfillment part of it. Luke 1. Verses 26 through 38. We probably will not read all of that. But it starts out and it says, to a virgin whose name was Mary. Now, was there prophecy of what her name would be? No. No, there isn't. Mary, was she without sin? Not like Christ. She could not be the Savior of the world. But she was a chosen vessel. And she was to be the vehicle in which this was to be performed. God looked upon her with favor, the word says. God can look upon you with favor and me. He can look upon us with favor today. And he looked upon Mary. She was devout. She was virtuous. She had character. She had those things that qualified her to be the vehicle. But that did not make her a savior. And this is an important principle of doctrine, because we have beliefs in the world that she has authority with Christ, her son, even now. And we don't want that to color and confuse us as we look into this. She was a woman chosen of God. God chooses vessels today. You cannot pray to Mary and ask her to go to her son for a favor. You can't do it. And I don't believe anyone here is confused that way. But if you meet someone, we need to know the truth, and we need to have it fixed in our hearts and minds. And so here is a young woman that an angel comes to, and these are the words, behold, thou shalt bring forth a son. I'm just giving you parts of these verses. And shalt call his name Jesus, the Son of the Highest, and that holy, and I say child, I think it says holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, oh, Lord, help us that when we're chosen, that we too can say these words. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. God is pleased. He'll be satisfied with us when we willingly are subject to his will. When he's calling us and we say, Lord, have your way. There's lessons in this. And so it was carried out in Luke, the second chapter, verses 7 through 18. We may read those. They're such good verses. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Do you see why we ought to be the ones that can promote the birth of Christ? The songs that have been written down through the years, sent out on the airwaves, was that good? Could someone, I asked the congregation there, I said, could someone get saved from the songs that have been written about Christ and his birth? Could they? Yes, if they believe it. When we have the song, Joy to the World, the Lord is come. Let's go on. I can get carried away. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Did they find it just like it was said? Just like it was said. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward. And we could put in there and not take away all men. This was for the whole world. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away and from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which came to pass. And the Lord hath made known unto us. Secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belong to us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The next part I want to address is witnesses. What does the scripture say about witnesses? Are witnesses important? How many times does it say it in the Bible? That in the mouth of two or three witnesses let everything be established. How many times does it say it? Three times. One in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, Christ being one that said it one time. You think it's important then that everything that we believe and teach should be established by witnesses of his word? I believe that. I trust in it. I practice it. And so we have witnesses now, ordained witnesses, God-ordained witnesses, Mary being one, Joseph being another. Joseph willingly submitted to the angel. When the angel revealed unto Joseph the plan of God for Mary, that he would be also a chosen vessel. He would be the father, earthly father figure. He would have an impact on Jesus's life, on the Son of God. He had an authority over him, did he? Joseph had an authority, earthly authority. And so he's a witness. We have the lowly shepherds. How many? I don't know. It does not say how many shepherds. I like to think that there were a number. We have then, after his birth, we have Simeon in the temple, who the Spirit of the Lord had spoken to and said, "You will not die until you see my salvation," something to that effect. And when they came in, the Spirit of the Lord witnessed to Simeon that this was the Christ child. And he spoke about it, and he gave his witness, and he became a witness. And then Anna, the prophetess in the temple also, she even prophesied at the sight of Christ, prophesied of his end. That seems a bit hard to see a newborn babe and yet to prophesy of its death. But it all came together, ordered of God. Now, what's that word, ordered? Methodically and harmoniously arranged with divine purpose. God ordered it. He ordered every detail of all of the information that is given to you and me in the Word of God, in the New Testament, Christ's birth and his death and resurrection are more detailed in information than any other part. In other words, we know he went about healing, but it doesn't go into explicit details with all of that as much as it does his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Don't you know that God wanted you and me to know all about it? He wanted us to see the fulfillment of the prophecy that was done of old time, holy men of God being inspired by the Holy Ghost. He wanted us to see the fulfillment written in his word. Thank the Lord. And then we have the wise men. We're also witnesses that this was the Son of God. And we won't go into too much detail on that one. Did you get it studied? We had a little study about it. Okay. One thing I want to point out of the recording of Christ's birth and his death and his resurrection. Do you see any embellishments? Do you see any magnificent adjectives? It's just a simple story. It's very simple. It doesn't go into detail as how dirty the barn was, that the animals were there. It doesn't say how cold or warm or hot. It just gives us the bare truth. Remember that. When we speak about the birth of Christ, let us not embellish it beyond what God wants us to. Let's believe the simple truth of his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Let's not add to, and let's not take away. That's just a little caution. Now, there were certain things that the recording did not give any information about. What was it?
The date.
There is no place in the Word of God that we only can read between the lines according to the shepherds watching their fields by flock, their flocks watching their flocks by night. They were watching the fields too. But that's about the only hint as to the time of year that it was. So we know that this is not the time of year. Shepherds did not watch their sheep in the winter time, and it's winter there too. So that's one thing that I believe God the Father did not really want us to know a specific date. I believe that. This date has been allowed by God in order for one time a year that we are thinking about, that we are celebrating in a right way, we are remembering it to give him honor because he was born. And he was born for all of mankind. Now I want to deal with the word allowed. This word allowed, we're going to use the definition that said, did not prevent. Now, through the ages, God has always demonstrated his power and his might, has he not? In all of mankind. In all governments, do you believe this? Does God have authority upon this earth? Yes, he does. He says he has all power in heaven and in earth. The scripture says he sets up kings and he takes down kings. And so that tells me, plus other things, that God has power and authority in all things. Does that mean that he causes things to happen? No, that's not what I'm saying. But he allows it. And so here we have God not preventing the method in which Christ's birth has been told. Would you agree to that? God did not prevent it. He could have stopped it. If it was so displeasing, if he saw that it was not good, do you believe that he could have said, no, this is my beloved son. My beloved son is not going to be dragged through the dirt. Could he have said that? I believe that. And this is what the Lord opened up to my mind. And he opened it up in that he wanted it to go throughout the whole world. He wanted the message of his son's birth. He wanted the songs. He wanted the messages to be in the songs. His birth is mingled, even today, with darkness. It's this holiday is truly a pagan holiday. He could have said, no, you're not going to do that to my son's birth. He could have stopped it. Why did he not? Here the pagans celebrated this time, and they have horrible celebrations. And then the Catholics come along, And they get a hold of it. They give the name Christmas. They give that name to it. It's allowed. But it goes down through the ages. And now, for many centuries, Santa Claus has been right beside Christ. Christ is in the midst of all of this darkness. And God allowed it. Why did he allow it? Because he said he loved the whole world. He knew of no better way that the message could be spread throughout the whole world. And so he allows this little ray of light. Let's read a scripture now. John 1 and 5. It says, the light shineth in what?
Darkness.
And the darkness comprehended it not. I want to tell you where we are today. Is paganism alive? Is it growing? Do we feel the darkness? We do. There is still a ray of light. Thank the Lord. It's still shining in darkness. When we come to this holiday, we're going to call it a holiday. It is, for some, it's religious. For others, it's just a holiday. Did you know that Lauren read in the paper today that I think 70-some% of the people still believe in the virgin birth, but what about the other 30? That's growing. Young people don't believe it. We need to remember this is the truth of God's word. This was his vehicle. This was the miracle of how he chose for his son to be brought into this world. Let us keep the story, the account, the prophecy, the fulfillment. Let us keep it alive. Let us keep it pure. Let us not have it embellished. We're not adding to it. We're not taking away from it. So this light, it shines in darkness today. Do you remember how Herod tried to destroy Christ at his birth? Shows a terrible method. And there was prophecy of that too. But the angel of the Lord warned them and they went to Egypt. I believe there's prophecy of that. The angel of the Lord protected Christ. Did you know that Satan has always been out to destroy Christ from his birth? When he was in the desert being tempted of the devil, was he not trying to destroy him? He absolutely was trying to destroy Christ. Do you think that Satan is thinking now it's a little bit too late and I'm just going to let up just a little bit? He still is wanting to destroy Christ. He wants to destroy the birth of Christ. He wants to destroy the very account. And so down through the ages of time, when men's hearts were not quite as hard as what they were now and are now, that light shined a little bit brighter. But now, we find that there is opposition to singing even the carols. The public schools, many of them will no longer allow the normal, what you and I call the normal Christmas carols. It's the Here Comes Santa Claus songs. It's all of the secular songs. And now Christ is being taken out of even where a child might hear, a Savior is born. Joy to the world. Oh, I want to tell you, Satan is still alive. Our congregation has, for the last number of years, taken an evening and went Christmas caroling in a neighborhood. In the past, and this year as well, we generally had a child knock at the door and ask if we could sing to them. This year we only had one or two little children, and so Lorne was going ahead of us to the next houses asking permission for us to sing. Now, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, and we've never been turned down. But we were turned down 4 times in one neighborhood.
This year.
This year. So, do you see something in that? Do you see that you and I need to keep this alive? This is the love of God to the world. To let there be just a ray of hope, a ray of light in the midst of darkness. And you and I are compassed about with much darkness. And this truth is trying to be snuffed out by the enemy. We had a song sung this morning called 140, and I'm going to end with that. The first verse, "Hark, my soul, seraphic music from angelic choirs above, breaks to earth the joyful tidings that the Lord our God is love." When you think of all of Santa Claus and Catholic masses and all of the revelry that takes hold at this time of the year, when you think of all of that and you think, well, I don't think I'm going to celebrate. There are movements that don't believe in celebrating Christmas at all. We're doing Christ an injustice to not remember him, I think, at this time of the year, because God has ordered it and allowed it. He's allowed it. And then the chorus, "God is love, God is love. Song of angel choirs above, hallelujah, God is love." Now listen, paradise now helps to swell it. Saints on earth, there's a message here, afar go tell it.
Yeah.
Go tell it. Don't allow the enemy to shut your mouth to the pure truth of Christ's birth. Don't be afraid to say, "I believe he was born of a virgin."
Amen.
I believe it. And then it says, "Satan's host can never quell it." It's up to you and me to keep it alive, though, because he's quelling it in other places. "For the Lord our God is love." The scripture says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. Thank you for your attention. I trust that the Lord will bless these thoughts to you. And as much as it has been blessed to me, I don't know exactly about Merry Christmas. But I'll tell you one thing, I've seen it go full circle. I've seen where we were instructed to do just happy holidays, and now you can't find as many cards that says Merry Christmas. Most of them are speaking about happy holidays.
That's true.
And so I don't know the balance of all of that, and I'm not going to tell you go out and get Merry Christmas or whatever. But I would certainly do something. I remember one time I sent I like to send something with a card. I'd like to encourage us all to do that, something that's meaningful. And I try to seek the Lord for something that will be a blessing. And you know, the Lord gave me that song of the love of God one time about the ink and the... And you know, I felt a real inspiration sending that out. When we send our messages, let us send things that will really promote the true purpose. And it is for our salvation and the salvation of the whole world. Maybe we're sending it to family members that are really not that interested. But at least it's been there. The seeds have been there. Whether they allow them to germinate, you've sowed some seeds. Let's honor. Let's commemorate. Let's celebrate. Let's lift him up in honor. Pray for me.